and story and lesson for us, and it comes from the life of the first king of Israel, which was Saul. And from this, we learned that one of the keys to the Christian life, if not the key, is obedience. Obedience. So we'll start there in verse 10 of chapter 15 in verse 1 Samuel. It says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Our title today is To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling in the name of Jesus Christ around your precious word, and pray you'll now use it in each of our hearts. Lord, may we get a hold of this great truth today. May we be honest with the Holy Spirit and responsive as he speaks to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, you will be glorified and guide us in your truth. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The entire issue of what happened here is in verse 11. God speaking to Samuel, and he said, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. The issue was obedience. God gave very explicit instructions to Saul when he sent them to take the Amalekites. There was no ambiguity about it. And Saul did not obey what God told him to do. The issue is always the commandments. And I personally believe, as we'll see when we study it together today, that this is one of the keys to the Christian life. Is obedience. Christians oftentimes are tempted by the devil to focus on certain areas of obedience while disobeying in other areas. And as long as we live our Christian lives that way, we are limiting, as we will see, the blessings of God. God wants obedience in all areas. And he's not asking too much. He's given us his Holy Spirit to guide us. He's given us his word. He's given us heaven, and he says, in return, I want obedience, because I am a holy God, and I want you to be holy. Now, Paul makes a mention of this. If you go to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, keep your place here in 1 Samuel 15. But I want you to see what Paul had to say about the commandments of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19. Look what he says. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God. What a statement. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. What matters is keeping the commandments. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why keep referring to me as your Lord, as your master, but not obey me? Because servants always obey their masters. And so back in our passage, it says in verse 11, it grieved Samuel. And we see Samuel, such a special person. He had this pastor's heart. It says he cried unto the Lord all night. He wasn't crying unto the Lord for himself. He was crying unto the Lord on behalf of Saul, the one that he had anointed to be the first king of Israel. And he spent all night crying to the Lord on behalf of Saul, saying, Lord, please spare Saul. Don't punish him. Forgive him. And then we find in verses 13 to 15 our typical response when the Holy Spirit convicts us of a particular commandment in His Word. And remember, we did a study on the commandments. There's about 150 of them in the New Testament that we are told to follow. And it's up to us to know what they are and to obey each one. But the Holy Spirit's got this. When you go to the Lord in prayer and the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word of God and says, that's a commandment that you're disobeying, that's when you make a choice. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to repent. I'm going to ask for God's help. And I'm going to obey that commandment, or I'm not. And here we find four typical responses when that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, are not the proper response. The first one, verse 13, is to act spiritual. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Samuel, you're such a wonderful prophet. Blessed be thou of the Lord. Christians try this all the time. While living in disobedience, they try to act spiritual. Oh, I love Jesus so much, and He's so wonderful. There was a young man that came to Jesus once, and Jesus said, fine, if you want to try to earn heaven, just keep all the commandments. And he said, I've kept them all. There in Matthew 19. From my youth, I've kept all your commandments, Lord. I've never broken one. That wasn't the right answer, by the way. Acting spiritual gets us nowhere because God knows our hearts. Amen. As he told him there in verse 17, when thou wast little in thine own sight, back in the day, Saul, when you were pretty much a nobody, God chose you to be the first king of Israel. Back then, you were humble. Now you're trying to put on a bit of a show. Blessed be thou of the Lord. The second thing that we often do, verse 13, is to just outright deny it. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I did obey God. And even when confronted, sometimes we did. In verse 20, he said, and Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He just keeps saying it. I did obey. I did obey. I did obey. In other words, not admit that we are disobeying. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Proverbs 28, 13. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So acting spiritual or denying that we are disobeying gets us nowhere with God. The third thing we often do is verse 15, and that is blame others. Try to point the finger elsewhere. We call it blame shifting in our home. Kids are really good at it. When you challenge them, we'll say, oh, but she did this or he did that. In other words, don't look at me, Lord. Look over here. So Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Wait a minute, aren't you the king? Don't you have absolute authority? And now, when you're challenged for your disobedience, you blame the people? It's their fault? Aaron tried it too, didn't he? When Moses was up on the mountain, and he came down, and they'd made the golden calf, and he said, I don't know what happened, Moses. The people gave me all the gold, and we threw it into the fire, and this calf came out. It just came out of the fire, shaped into a perfect golden calf. He didn't take responsibility. And neither is Saul saying, oh, it was the people. Well, Adam said it was Eve's fault. Eve said it was the serpent's fault. Guess we've been doing it for a while. Blame shifting. And it's a very dangerous thing. In our counseling class in the Bible college, the first premise of our class that we rest on all the rest of the class is, number one, we are accountable for our behavior. No one else's. Our behavior. We are accountable. Saul's not taking account, is he? He's not taking responsibility. He says, oh, it's the people, Lord. So first he acts spiritual, then he denies it, then he blames it on the people. And then number four, verse 15, we try and justify it. We try to rationalize it. He says, the people, what? Spared the best for why? To sacrifice unto the Lord. You don't understand, Samuel. Okay, we might have just a little bit disobeyed, but it was for a good cause. It wasn't so that we could enjoy the spoils ourselves. It was so that we could sacrifice them to God, to the Lord. It was for a good reason that we disobeyed a little bit, just a little bit. We did it to sacrifice. The word for this is pragmatism. And sometimes Christians try it and it never works. Whether you've heard it or not, the end does not justify the means. That is a wicked truth that's not from the scriptures. So that's just a little side thing there, that this is how we often respond when we're challenged by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God about some disobedience in our lives. And it happens quite often if we're willing to listen, since there are 150 commandments. And we can choose to say, nah, I'm spiritual, or we can try to deny it or blame others, or even try to justify or rationalize it. Gets us nowhere. Because the end, verse 23, Saul, that's it. I'm taking away your throne. And I'm going to give it to someone better than you. We all know who that was. A man after God's own heart. So Samuel said, I'm going to share with you what God said. Verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil. Look very carefully at this word. And didst evil in the sight of the Lord. This is the problem, is we don't often look at disobedience as evil. But it is. Any disobedience is evil. And sometimes Christians get very good at categorizing evil. Well, people that do these sins are really evil people. But a little bit of gossip, a little bit of bitterness, that's not so bad. And that's not how it works in the Bible, by the way. Any disobedience is evil. And we can't justify it. We just need to get it right. And as we saw in verse 23, God equates disobedience with witchcraft. And we would all agree that witchcraft is evil, wouldn't we? He says it's like witchcraft. It's evil. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient. There it is, disobedient. So disobedience is evil. The way to respond is not to try to deflect, but to accept. And then verse 23, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." That's our title today. We're not supposed to offer God the choice. But God said, if you're going to offer me a choice between sacrifice and obedience, I want obedience. That's always God's choice. Let me show you another example in Jeremiah 7, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 7. And as long as we continue to try to cover it up or ignore the Holy Spirit or rationalize or justify it, it's going to limit the blessings of God in our lives. Any area of disobedience is wickedness, it's evil, and God wants it dealt with or he wouldn't be pointing it out. Notice Jeremiah 7:21. Sorry, I probably didn't give you the verse, did I? You're all waiting. Jeremiah 7:21. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing I commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you." He said, put your sacrifices away. Just go ahead and eat them for yourself, because I'm not interested. Obey my voice. They were living in disobedience. This was written about the same time as the Babylonian captivity. He said, stop with the sacrifices. You're wasting your time. Until you're willing to obey me, I'm not interested in the sacrifices. Because they tried to reinstitute the sacrifices at the end of the Babylonian captivity, God said, obey my voice. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. 1 John 5, 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's the love of God, that we obey. Now, I shared this earlier. There's about 150 of them. We did a study. They're in a pamphlet in the back. Let me just read a few. I'm not going to read all 150. We've got the basics of the Christian life. We're commanded to pray every day. Amen. We're commanded to be in the Word every day, to study it, memorize it, meditate in it, and to read it. We're commanded to be faithful to church. We're commanded to witness to the lost. We're commanded to give. We're commanded to trust the Lord and not worry, but believe God. Commanded to follow Jesus and commit all our plans unto him. We're commanded to abide in Christ, to do all to the glory of God, to be thankful for all things, to rejoice always, to be content, to walk in the Spirit, to live the fruit of the Spirit, to put our gifts to use, to serve the Lord and work for him, to love one another through our actions by forgiving and meeting their needs and helping them and edifying them. We're to never use the tongue to hurt or to gossip or to attack any human being. We're to be separate from the world and covetousness, and we're to be holy. That's a sampling. Maybe to whet your appetite to go look up the rest. The point is, it's all about obedience. And again, the Holy Spirit has the powerful Word of God available. If we will open it, that's one of the reasons why we need to be in it every day, because that gives the Holy Spirit the ammunition to speak to our hearts about disobedience in our lives. And when he does, then we have a choice to make. Am I going to obey, or am I going to be like Saul? Say, well, Lord, actually, I'm a pretty spiritual person, or it's not really my fault, or I did it for a good reason. Or are we just going to admit we're wrong and get it sorted? Obedience is one of the keys to the Christian life. I want to share with you quickly some of the areas that obedience is the key to. Number one, blessings. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. Obedience is one of the keys to blessings from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 25. And when I had put this, I've actually been kind of putting this together for 2 years or so, every time I come across a verse that talks about obedience. But James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see that word doer? So, one of the keys to blessings is obedience. How about happiness? Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The world's looking for happiness. We talked about this last Sunday in Sunday school. And so the world is always pursuing happiness. But here in Proverbs 20:19, God promises that one of the keys to happiness is obedience. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 20:19, 29:18. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So there God is saying, one of the keys to happiness is obedience. After Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, happy are ye if you do them. Talking about his commandments. While you're in the Old Testament, look at Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. Obedience is also one of the keys to knowledge. Now, you wouldn't expect this one, but it's all of our desire to understand the Word better. But God says one of the keys to understanding the Word better is obedience. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that what? Do his commandments. That do his commandments. He's promised a good understanding. Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. It starts with obedience. So it's one of the keys to blessings, one of the keys to happiness, one of the keys to knowledge. Now look at Joshua 1:8. We knew this one was coming, Aroy. I only said that because that's the last two words is his last name in Spanish. Buen suceso. There, now you can say his name. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to what? Do. That, by the way, is one of the key words of the entire verse. Do according to all that is written therein. That means all the commandments. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only occurrence of the word success in the entire Bible right there. And God equates it to obedience. Doing all that is written therein. So it's the key to blessings, happiness, knowledge, success. It's also one of the keys to answered prayer. Look at 1 John 3:22. People talk about, oh, my prayers, I just feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling. Well, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you about an area of disobedience? And are you dealing with it? Because if you keep ignoring him, what are you saying? 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. A lot of people would like to stop right there and start a new movement. And start a cult right there with that first half of the verse, eh? Ask him for anything and he'll give it to you. But no, God put a because in there, didn't he? Because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It's one of the keys to blessings, one of the keys to happiness, one of the keys to knowledge, one of the keys to success, one of the keys to answered prayer. And then look at John 15:14. It is also one of the keys to having true friendship with Jesus Christ. Which is something we all want to be, as a friend of Jesus. Amen? But Jesus made friendship with him conditional. Look what he says, John 15:14. Ye are my friends. If. See that word if? conditional. If ye do whatsoever I command you. Sounds like obedience is kind of important. Back to our passage, verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. All of his excuses got him nowhere. God still chastised Saul for his disobedience by removing him from the throne over Israel. It says in Isaiah 63:10, talking about Israel, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. This is the part that we don't understand. It says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Disobedience. Which is why obedience is a key to so many things. Blessings and happiness and knowledge and success and answered prayer and friendship with Jesus. Because when we're in disobedience and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to deal with this. When we say no, we just grieved him. He's trying to speak to us. He lives inside of us. He's there to guide us and help us live for Christ. And when he says, you need to do this, and we say no, you just said no to God. And so, what will God do? Go to Hebrews 12:10 and we'll see. You know what God's ultimate goal for each one of us is while we're on this earth? Is that we be more like Jesus. And he's using trials, and he's using people, and he's using tests, and temptations, and life in general, and his word, and the Holy Spirit, and everything to slowly but surely conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. And sometimes he has to step in and do what he did with Saul and chastise us because we won't listen when he points out disobedience. Hebrews 12:10. For they verily for a few days, talking about our earthly fathers, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, talking about God chastising us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Comes back to holiness. God wants us to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And so God is going to continue to use his word to steer us toward obedience. And we always, like with Saul, have a choice how we will respond. You know, you look at Saul's response to having his sin pointed out. What did he say? I'm spiritual. It's not really my fault. It was for a good cause. Now go to the next person who was the king of Israel. He wasn't perfect. But what happened when God pointed out his sin? When he was challenged by a different prophet named Nathan. What did he do? He repented. He said, I was wrong. Read Psalm 51. That was his response. One of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, Psalm 51. He repented and got right with God because he was a man after God's own heart. God still had to chastise him through the loss of the child. But he got right. Saul didn't get right. Saul lost his throne. And that was it. He just went downhill from there. So God says to obey is better than sacrifice. And one of the keys to the successful, victorious Christian life, which, by the way, Jesus wants for every one of us. John 10:10, he says, I come to give them life more abundantly. One of the keys to the abundant Christian life is this simple truth, obedience. So the next time the Holy Spirit begins to point something out, or he probably already is, then deal to it. Take care of it. Are you going to live a perfect life? It's not going to happen until you leave this earth. But you can do your best to obey every commandment. And then when you disobey them, the Holy Spirit is very good at pointing it out. Get it right. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Get it right and go on and serve the Lord. And to the best of your ability, be obedient. And God promises so many blessings. And your prayer life and your friendship with Jesus, success, knowledge, happiness. Well, just obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us from your precious and powerful word. I pray that we'll take heed to this simple and yet profound truth that you want us to obey every command. And that there are commands we are disobeying and you're speaking to us about them, we must deal to it. Or we will limit your blessings, limit our success, limit our prayers, and on and on. And I pray we'll get sorted with you. And Lord, again, if there's someone in our service that's not born again, I didn't preach to them today, but I know that Holy Spirit spoke to their heart, and I pray they'll be willing to come to Christ and be born again. Those of us that are, may we be responsive to the Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.